Scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 27, and then also Proverbs 19, 13 through 16. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And then to Proverbs 19, starting in verse 13. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for loving us. Lord, thank you for the work that your Spirit is doing in us. Thank you for your word. Lord, we just thank you that we can gather together to worship you this morning. We ask, Lord, as we look at your word, that you would teach us. Lord, that you would humble us, that we would be teachable. And Lord, that you would lead us, that you would teach us your ways. We ask now that you would bless us, convict us of sin, strengthen us and encourage us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Young children sometimes get distracted. Sometimes they get distracted from what they're supposed to be doing. And so they need reminded. They're constantly needing to be reminded and brought back to what they should be doing. And we as adults, we're not much different. We can get distracted as well, and we lose our focus. So we all, both young and old, need reminded of what we should be doing in life. And in Proverbs, God shows us many different reminders of what we should be doing. We need to be deliberate. We need to be intentional in life. We need to not be careless or purposeless. So this morning, the title of this message is Be Deliberate. Be deliberate. Three main points. First, be deliberate in family relationships. Secondly, be deliberate in work. And third, be deliberate in obedience to Christ. So in all of these areas that we'll look at this morning, I want to stress the importance of us not just taking a nonchalant, careless attitude towards these issues in life, but that we would be deliberate, that we would be intentional in what we're doing. So let's begin with number one, be deliberate in relationships. Verse 13. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. Here we see that family relationships are not always a cause of joy and gladness, but they can also be the source of great pain and misery. You know, typically when I think of family, I just think of blessings, blessings, blessings. And yet, that is not always the reality. It's often these close family relationships that bring us the greatest joy. But it is also these close relationships where we have the greatest potential for hurting each other. So a foolish son is destruction to his father. Now, although this is the reality in many families, what a tragedy we see here in this verse. You see, children should be a great blessing to their family, to their parents, bringing them great joy, giving them cause to rejoice. Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him." And we recognize the differences here in these two verses is whether the child is wise or foolish. The parents of a wise son have good reason to rejoice, but the parents of a fool do not. The foolish son is destruction to his father. First of all, what is a foolish son like? A foolish son is one who will not listen to advice or correction. Two things which a father must give his children. But a foolish son rejects his father's discipline. He will not accept it. He doesn't want to listen. He won't receive it. He will not listen to sound teaching. He does not want God's wisdom. So he will not submit to God or the authorities that God has placed in his life. The foolish son goes his own way and he does his own thing. So it's easy for us to understand that the foolish son is foolish. But how is his foolishness destruction to his father? Well, this destruction manifests itself in many ways. First of all, his foolishness grieves his father. What sadness the father of a fool experiences to have his own child, to have his own flesh and blood be a fool, to have him reject God and go his own way in life, to live in rebellion and sin. This is so disappointing for parents. As parents, you know, you always dream of your children walking in your footsteps. You know, not necessarily all of them, but the good footsteps, or at least the most important footsteps. You know, it will not grieve me at all if none of my children become farmers or butchers or preachers. Well, won't bother me at all. But I will be terribly grieved if they reject Christ and go their own way. So a foolish son brings destruction on his parents by grieving them. But he also brings destruction by causing problems in the home. His lack of respect and obedience to his parents, his lack of love for his siblings and others only destroys the peaceful environment in the home. You see, when a fool says in his heart, "There is no God," what he's really saying is, "I'm going to be my own God." And so a fool is selfish, always seeking to please himself. And this, of course, is not a very pleasant person to live with. But a fool is also often destructive to his parents financially. They're often having to pay for the damages and the consequences of their child's foolishness. Oftentimes, these financial burdens only increase as the child grows up and gets older. The damages, the consequences cost more. Depending on the circumstances, these added financial burdens can put parents in a real bind. So we see that the damage and the destruction that a foolish son brings upon his parents is so harmful in many different areas. What a tragedy it is when children are not a blessing and a help to their parents, but when they're foolishly going their own way, bringing destruction instead of blessing to their parents. Instead of bringing love and honor, he hurts his parents' hearts. He hurts their reputation. He hurts the rest of the family. He hurts their pocketbook. What destruction the foolish son brings to his parents. But having a foolish son is not the only relationship that can bring great harm and pain upon a man, but also having a contentious wife. And the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. Again, what a blessing it is to have a good wife. What a blessing. A wife who cares and encourages and supports her husband. And yet we see here in this verse a wife that is not like that at all. A wife that is not pleasant to be with. A wife who, instead of encouraging you, is nagging you. She's always complaining. She's never happy. This is not speaking of an occasional disagreement. This is a constant dripping, like living in a house with a leaky roof. Drip, drip, drip. Nag, nag, nag. Complain, complain. Quarrel, quarrel, quarrel. Challenging everything. Disagreeing with everything. A contentious wife turns a peaceful home into a battlefield. She makes nothing easy or enjoyable. Every conversation turns into a quarrel. Oh, how wearing, how exhausting to have a contentious wife. So here we see in this verse that some of the greatest threats on families come from within. We are sinful people. And if we're careless, and if we're foolish, we will hurt those who are the closest to us. So be deliberate. Be deliberate. Children, don't just be children. Be deliberate. Be wise. Seek Christ. Seek to be a blessing to your parents. Don't be the foolish son that this verse speaks of, but bring blessings to your parents. Give them great reasons to rejoice. Make them feel blessed to be your parent. Wives, be deliberate. It's easy to form bad habits that harm your husband and family. But be deliberate in being a blessing. Your husband needs your constant support. Not a constant attack. Good relationships don't just happen. They don't. Be deliberate. So be deliberate in relationships. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. Now, continuing on with point one in being deliberate in relationships, verse 14. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Here we see a number of blessings upon a man's life, but the emphasis here is on what a wonderful blessing it is to have a prudent wife. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers. House and wealth is a blessing. It's a good thing. What a great inheritance. And it's a wonderful thing when fathers can pass this down to their children. What a blessing to receive an inheritance. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of a sinner is stored up for the righteous." Again, this is speaking of physical wealth. What a blessing. It's a wonderful blessing when a man works hard, when parents are wise with their finances, when they live within their means and they're able then to pass on wealth and a house to their children. This is a great blessing and a great benefit to receive an inheritance. You know, it's like a head start, getting a boost. It is a great help. But then we also see in this verse who is credited with giving these good gifts. It's the father. The parents who worked hard in accumulating this wealth. Now the point here is not that the father did this and God did not have a hand in it at all. But I believe that the main reason that these gifts are attributed to the father is to emphasize and set the stage for attributing the greater gift in the second half of the verse to God. So house and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. As good and beneficial as it is to be given a house and wealth, how much greater, how much better is a prudent wife? So much better. You think of the comfort that money and a house can bring. A prudent wife, so much more. So much more. A prudent wife is a better gift, a far greater value. A prudent wife is wise and successful. She's loving and caring. She's resourceful. She doesn't cause the problems in the home. She solves them. She makes every circumstance in life better because of her attitude and influence. She's an expert at taking lemons and making lemonade. She finds good solutions for bad problems. She knows how to hold her tongue. But she also knows just what to say and how to say it. She's not a complainer. She's an encourager. So understand that the prudent wife is a great blessing. And then we see here that God gets the glory. God gets the glory. So for you husbands of a prudent wife, don't think for a moment that you have a prudent wife because you made a great choice. No, God has given you a great wife. God has given you a prudent wife. And day after day, The prudent wife gives her husband many reasons to praise God. Day after day, she makes the good times better. Day after day, she makes the hard times easier. Day after day, God blesses men through a prudent wife. So we see here how wonderful a prudent wife is. And may this verse be an encouragement to you wives to be deliberate. Seek to be a prudent wife. Seek Christ. Seek to be a good wife to your husband. And husbands, don't be careless in how you treat your wife. This is a gift from the Lord. Honor Him. And do not fail to praise God for giving you a prudent wife. Give credit where credit is due. Praise the Lord for prudent wives. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. We must all, children and adults, husbands and wives, we must all be deliberate in our relationships. So number two, be deliberate in work. Verse 15, laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. Here we're warned not to be lazy, and we're also shown the consequences of laziness. You know, none of us would like to think of ourselves as being lazy. But oftentimes, laziness is not something that we can judge ourselves very accurately on. You see, laziness affects your thinking. It can put you into kind of a stupor. It says here, laziness casts into a deep sleep. You see, when you're asleep, you're somewhat senseless. You know, you're not fully aware of what's going on around you. When someone is sleeping, they're motionless. They're not moving. At least not much anyway. But certainly when sleeping, our senses are dulled. You know, you can talk to someone who's asleep, but they're not going to hear you. At least not enough to comprehend and understand what you're saying to them. You can even touch people who are in a deep sleep, and they won't even know it. They won't respond. So here in this verse, it says that the laziness puts a man into a deep sleep. But this is not speaking about a man going to bed at night and closing his eyes to go to sleep. No, this is talking about when he's awake, when his eyes are open, when he's conscious. So he's fully conscious and awake. His eyes are open. He has strength and good health. But because he's lazy, he is mindless of his own business and affairs. He has the time. He has the resources. He has what he needs, but because he's lazy, he remains idle. He remains as if he were asleep. He's not getting anything done. And so he lets all of this go to waste. He squanders every opportunity to be productive. Certainly, he's full of excuses, but none are valid. He's lazy, and it's sin. So what does this laziness bring? An idle man will suffer hunger. Here we see the consequences of laziness. Laziness is sin, and sin has consequences. If you don't work, you'll suffer hunger. Now, certainly, there are those who are able to get around this for a while. Maybe they're just living off of an inheritance, or maybe there's some other way that they're able to, some other crutch to hold them up that facilitates their laziness. But sooner or later, those resources will run dry, and they will suffer hunger. Now, certainly it's true that there are some people who cannot work, who cannot accomplish much. And this verse is not teaching that those people need to starve. But Scripture teaches that we who can work should be working diligently, that we should be productive, not only so that we can eat, but so that we can help meet those needs of others who can't. Certainly, we also need to be careful that we're not facilitating laziness. You see, problems only get worse when we take away the consequences of sin. So let the lazy man suffer hunger, and may God use that hunger to urge him to work. So may we be deliberate. May we work hard and be productive. We need to be careful not to let lazy tendencies and lazy habits creep in. It doesn't matter what work you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're getting paid or not. We need to do our work as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for man. May we not take a careless, carefree approach to work, but be deliberate and work hard. We should be deliberate in our work, not lazy. Laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. Number three, be deliberate in obeying Christ. Verse 16. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Here we see the outcome, both for being careful and for being careless. And this verse really highlights the whole theme of this message, which is to be deliberate. Don't be careless. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. First of all, this is not teaching a works-based righteousness or a works-based salvation. Certainly, I appreciate what John mentioned last week, how our hope is not in our obeying, yet we are called to obey. Our hope is in Christ, and we are called to obey Him. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. This is teaching us that those who are careful to obey the Lord will reap the blessings of obedience. Sometimes I feel like I say this every week, but this is what God is teaching us in Proverbs, that those who feed on the Word of God, who order their life accordingly, reap the blessings of living life God's way. God's way is the way to live. Oh, the happiness that comes from obeying Christ. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 3:18, speaking of wisdom, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. May we hold fast to God's wisdom. May we keep his law. Jesus, who loved us so much that he died for us, said in John 14:15, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see, Jesus wants us to keep his commandments because he wants what's best for us. Nothing could be better for us than living in obedience to God's commands. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. He who keeps the commandment keeps himself from suffering all the consequences of going your own way. So we must be deliberate in following Christ. Listen, Christ has lived the perfect life for us, and Christ has died on the cross for our sins. But Christ has not called us to live a careless life, doing what we please. He has called us to walk in obedience. He has called us to walk in newness of life. And what a blessing, what a protection it is when we walk in obedience to the Lord. Second half of the verse, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Those who live carelessly, who do not really even care what God has commanded, they just go their own way through life. They just do what seems best to them. The outcome for them is not good. They will die. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. When a man does not fear God, but walks through life carelessly, careless of how he walks, careless of his ways, he will pay for his carelessness with his life. This verse is a great encouragement to be deliberate in obeying Christ. Listen, if you don't read the Bible, if you're not feeding on God's Word, if you just go out every day and just live your life, don't think that you're just going to happen to be living how God wants you to. You're not. We need to be deliberate. How we live does matter. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. So in conclusion, please don't misunderstand. A Christian should not be living their life in fear of not obeying God enough and losing their salvation because of it. That's not it at all. But a Christian should be deliberate, living a life of purpose, being intentional, not to save ourselves, but because we love Christ who has saved us. So we've seen this morning in these verses some of the pain, some of the harm that comes with living a careless life. But may we be encouraged in our family relationships, in all our relationships, in all our work, as we seek to obey Christ. Let's be deliberate. Let's not just wander through life. This is serious. May we be deliberate. May God help us that we would take seriously His commandments, that we would seek to please Him and honor Him in every area of life, not just in the ones we've looked at this morning. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You so much for loving us, for working in us what is pleasing to You. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Spirit that is working in us and helping us, guiding us. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Oh Lord, how rich Your Word is. Lord, we pray that we would take seriously Your call to obedience. Lord, that out of love for You, we would seek to please You. Lord, we recognize in the Proverbs, we see over and over all the negative consequences of going our own way, of not being careful. And Lord, we see the blessings of living life Your way. So Lord, we ask that You would help us. Lord, that we would be mindful, that we would be intentional in life. Lord, that we would love each other and that we would love You and obey You. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.